are listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today's message is based on Isaiah chapter 61. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer.
Holy Lord, we thank you for the gift of your life. Thank you for the gift of your Son who's come to show us the way. And so, Lord, as we gather around your word this morning, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I love reading stories and hearing them of communities that have bucked the trend of decline and hopelessness and are starting to see signs of hope and prosperity. I don't know a lot about the history of Membertou, but it's great to see them being a leading community in Nova Scotia and a leading community for First Nations people across Canada as they grow and build. I do know some of the history of another Cape Breton community, though, which has prospered of late. It's nice to see Wakaba First Nation in the news this past week, you know, just outside of Waucogama. Not that long ago, it was a community that was really struggling. And it was just this past week, it was reported that everyone of working age who lives there, almost all of them are working now. And they just opened up their new mall, business mall, with the Tim Hortons and the Irving Station right there. I've been driving through that community for over 20 years, and I remember how it used to look. But now it looks so much better, looks so much brighter. There's new businesses, homes have been fixed up, you know, fresh coats of paint. All points to a new hope in a community when people are working and finding joy in their lives once again. It all kind of shows how just a few small changes and the willingness to try a few new things can change a community for the better. Communities which people probably thought at one time, why would anyone want to live there? Those communities are showing signs of prosperity now. Places of hopelessness are showing signs of hope. What would have been a place to consider abandoned now looks full of life. The other night, our choir sang at a church which is having its final service this morning. And we've seen the closure of a number of other churches. Some of you are here today because your church has closed. I can think of at least four churches being represented by those of you sitting here whose church has closed. It's hard sometimes to remain hopeful when we see places of worship, places that have long histories, some spanning over 100 years. It's hard to see them close because no one's going there anymore. I'm sure we can all name a number of churches ourselves today that are facing that difficult transition, that difficult decision about their own future. And we start to wonder, what can we do to turn it around? How can we attract new people? What do we need to do to make ourselves relevant in the community? How do we open our doors so that new people will come in? Those are all good questions to have, but they're the wrong questions. In our reading from Isaiah this morning, we're reading as the prophet speaks to a nation who have returned from a time of exile. We've been walking with them through exile for the last number of weeks. And they've come home after being deported because they have been forcibly removed from their homes by invading nations. Everything they left behind is in ruins. And they're slowly trying to rebuild homes, their commercial centers, the city walls, even to rebuild a temple because it was laid to waste. While I'm sure they're very excited to be going home again, the home of their ancestors after spending so long in a foreign land, generations have been away. What they came back to is but a shell of its former self. And they're feeling overwhelmed by the task that is put before them. You know, they're rebuilding everything. It's going to be a lot of hard work, exhausting work. And it's going to take years, if not decades, to complete. And you think your home renovations are taking forever. Right off, though, we read in Isaiah 61 that the prophet is saying God's Spirit is in him to offer some important information. And what is it? The prophet is going to bring words of good news and freedom. Now, in this poetic piece, there's lots of different metaphors, and you can get lost in the different things that he's saying. You know, look at verse 3 alone. It says, to give them garland instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness for the planting of the Lord to display his glory. What it boils down to is he has given hope to replace those signs of defeat and despair. Isn't this something we even do in our worship today, in the songs that we sing? I mean, look what we've sung today. As Christmas approaches, we've sung People Look East this morning. It says, though the earth is bare, one more seed is planted there. Give up your strength, the seed to nourish, then in course the flower will flourish. Or when night is dim, one more light the bowl shall brim, shining beyond the frosty weather, bright as sun and moon together. And later on, at the end of the service, we'll sing Hark the Glad Sound, which will sing these words. He comes the prisoners to release. He comes the broken hearts to bind, the bleeding soul to cure, and with the treasures of his grace to bless the humble poor. Such great imagery we sing of at this time of year. It all echoes back to what we're hearing in Isaiah 61. What Isaiah is telling God's people. And what he's saying is God will bring hope to those who need it. Isaiah is reminding the people they're there because they are home because God has fulfilled his promise. The same promise we've been hearing week after week this fall as the prophets in the Old Testament reoffer God's promise that they will go home, back to the home that he promised their ancestors. So we might be thinking, yes, so what? What's this mean for us today? We're quite comfortable here in Cape Breton. We don't really have a homeland to go back to. We're very happy to be living right here. And that's a good point. So what does it have for us today? Well, if we go back to those Advent hymns, the ones we love to sing, the songs of bringing release to the prisoners, life to an empty garden, light in the darkness. Why do we love to sing those hymns? We love to sing them because they mean something to us. And I think it's more than just those nostalgic memories of when we used to sing them with our grandparents when we were a kid coming to church. It's because they're speaking into our lives right now, still today. We just need to pick up a newspaper and see that, you know, the world is still struggling. Our kids are struggling with many things as they grow up. We read about murders and suicides. We see drug problems on our very own streets. We see the struggles of government trying to provide for the needs of the people, the basic services. But all at the same time, they're trying to balance a budget and live within our means and try to stay popular so they can be reelected. And we see the food bank every year getting busier and busier. Yes, we do have it pretty good in Cape Breton. Most of us are living pretty comfortably here. But we see the needs of others, and we see it each and every day all around us. It's in the news, it's in our schools, it's in our neighborhoods. I've been talking with other parents about, you know, these struggles, especially with what's been going on in the schools the last couple weeks and in the general state of the world right now. And we've come to one surefire answer how to fix it all. You want to know what it is? Throw your hands in the air and say, come, Lord Jesus, come. That's the only surefire way to fix all these problems our world is seeing right now. Jesus to come back as he has promised he's going to come and take us all home, make it all right. However, that's the easy answer, and the one we aren't so sure when it's going to happen. I mean, Jesus did promise he'll return. We don't know if it's today or next century. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, what we do is we remember the promises God has made to his people, his children, all of us. Isaiah 61:11 reminds us of something important. It says, for as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. If the earth which God created is meant to be beautiful, like a garden in full blossom, then we as the children, if we seek righteousness and praise, we are too part of that garden, waiting to bloom in our own season. So back to the question, what do we need to do as a church to avoid this problem of abandonment and closure? We need to seek to bloom. Now, I'm not saying those churches that have closed didn't try this. Churches closed for all kinds of reasons, many of which are beyond our own control. You know, we think about population demographics and the nature of communities right now. But if we want to improve our chances, then we should try to be as flowers in God's garden. We should try to let Him feed us, nourish us, water us, so that we may be beautiful presentations of His love in the world. This is a time of year when we like to bring signs of life into our homes, into our churches. We're bringing trees. I mean, they're signs of life, even though they're fake or dead by the time we chop them down. But they still represent life. You know, we hang greenery, we hang lights, decorations, ornaments. We like to make things beautiful this time of year. And sure, we might do this at other times of the year, like we'll buy flowers for the dinner table or plants for the window. But something about this time of year, we obviously go the extra mile. We want things to be as beautiful as we possibly can make them at a time of year when things look a little drab, dark. Now, a fresh coat of snow helps a little bit, but God wants us to be beautiful as well. I'm not referring to our physical appearance, although you're all beautiful people. It's not about how we dress. God wants our spiritual selves, our faith, our hope, our trust in Him to be beautiful and to be displayed for the world to see, which we will be if we let our Father in heaven prepare us to be His beautiful children. Our little church here in Sydney Mines is a beautiful church. It's got this sense of beauty all year round. It's cozy. But how much more beautiful is it this month? During Advent and Christmas, when you bring in the lights, the trees, and the decorations, and the candles. We make it more beautiful because we're seeking to celebrate something. We're seeking to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to celebrate the day we recognize when God showed up in the world. The same goes for us. We are beautiful people most of the time, but how much more beautiful can we be when God shows up in our lives? In Advent, our joy of being in the presence of God takes on a visual form, right, with the decorations. We put a lot of work to make sure this church shines this time of year. We want to show it from the rooftops that God is here. And what if other people saw in our own lives this joy that we want to share with others as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? When God shows up, beautiful things happen if we're open to seeing it. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus returns to his hometown and he goes to worship in the temple and he walks in and he picks up the scroll and he reads. And he reads this. He read the first verse of what we read in Isaiah 61 today. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he says, "Today, this scripture has been filled in your hearing." Jesus Christ is the good news God is sending into the earth. He is the one bringing good news to the poor, release to the prisoners, to sight to the blind, and to the free and freedom to the oppressed. We can look at this in two ways. We can open our Bibles and say, yes, Jesus did all those things. He cured people. He healed them. He brought them back from the dead. He did all these things. But he also wants to do those same things spiritually. He wants to do it for those who need it in their souls, the ones who need spiritual healing. And to be perfectly honest, that's the kind of healing we need most. We need spiritual healing in our lives. Every one of us could use some spiritual healing, some of us a lot more than others. It doesn't matter how much we need, Jesus is making the offer to bring you spiritual healing and hope. He's offering to make you a beautiful flower in God's garden. Back to the reading from Isaiah 61. God is offering this promise once again. He is promising that he will make an everlasting covenant, which is again his promise, with everyone who seeks him in their lives. That they will be blessed, we will be blessed, and known for the faith and trust we put in God. This is not a nostalgic memory, remembering the promises of old. This is the promises that God is making to rebuild everything. To build on the covenant promises he's made in the past, looking to the future. For thousands of years, we've heard about the promises God has made. But they're all building on one another to a future. A future full of hope, with people from all corners of the world, from all walks of life, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, near and far. In some ways, it's a daily struggle as we decide whether to give in to the feelings of abandonment and hopelessness, or should we choose to embrace the life God offers to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When we choose hope, when we trust that God will be with us, helping to grow in our faith and understanding, as we trust God with the directions our lives and our church will have when we look into our future. God's covenant promise is that he is with us as we go. We will be visible signs of the beautiful love he has for his people. And others will be drawn to him as they seek the joy and hope we also have found in Jesus Christ, the one we look for this Advent season. Let us pray. Father, thank you for blessing us with this beautiful church and all the people who pass through these doors to come and worship with us. We thank you for the beauty they bring to our church family, from young and old, from rich and poor, from near and far. We ask you, Father, to walk with us, helping us to put our trust in you, that we may be visible signs of your amazing grace and abundant love which you offer to all your children. May we be blessed this season to know you more in our lives, our homes, our church, and everywhere else we may go. We ask this in the name of the one to come, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.